This episode is brought to you by the Forever Free Membership from Church Media HQ. Now, at this point, you've heard all about our free graphic of the week, but that's actually just the beginning of what you get with a free membership. You'll be able to send design requests, start a website, schedule coaching sessions, and more, all at no cost to you. You can get started with a Forever Free Membership from Church Media HQ at churchmediahq.com. That's churchmediahq.com. My guest today is Kerry Schmidt. He's the lead pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Newington, Connecticut. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm excited to share it with you right now. I'm your host, Luke Clayton, and I want to welcome you to Church Media HQ. Shifting over to talking a little bit more about church. Now, Easter's coming up, and obviously it is just days away at this point. And, you know, I don't want to talk about it too much because about Easter in particular, because by the time this, you know, hits the airwaves, if you will, Easter will be long gone. However, it does bring up for me a question. It's kind of a, I don't know if we'd call it a debate or just, I guess, a differencing in opinion. So I used to really be of the opinion that when it came to Easter or Christmas or a big day that, okay, it's time to pull out all the stops, you know, do something big, do something special, whatever. And then lately I've been a little bit more exposed to, if you will, this mentality of, well, no, because you, when you got new people coming in, you don't want to, not to say you shouldn't try, but you know, maybe do something a little bit extra, but you don't want to portray your church as something that you're not, because then when they come back the next week, they're going to, if they do, hey, what's going on here? I'm not sure, you know, I saw on your, you know, I was looking on your website and stuff, you know, I saw you've got, you know, Good Friday service and egg hunt and some stuff going on. But as far as big days in general, I mean, I don't know if you've, you know, how you've approached that over the years but I wanted to see if you could speak to that a little bit, that idea.
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you. The on one sense, the big deal at Emmanuel is every Sunday. Okay. So we want every Sunday to be as good as we can possibly make it from a human standpoint, not that we're dependent on our human abilities, but we want to serve God's people well. We want everything to be prepared from the facility to the hospitality to the music and the sermon. We want to serve our church family well. I have really, really avoided leading Emmanuel down an event-driven path where it's not really about Sunday, it's about the next big event. Now, we have some events. We've done some church picnics. We've hosted some concerts. We've done some different things like that. But I don't think anybody would tell you our church is themed or driven by events. So that said, historically, what Easter is for us is we want to be as good as we can in our normal operation, and we would like to bring about some improvements that are permanent. Okay, so if we can hit a new normal in terms of, okay, let me tell you what we're doing this Easter. If you come Friday or Sunday morning, what you will experience at Emmanuel is what you would have experienced the previous Sunday or what you'll experience next Sunday. It's essentially the same. The outliers are the Saturday Easter egg hunt. Obviously, we don't do that every week. Okay. And then the outlier would be we haven't done this every year, but two Easters I had Steve Green come. So he did a concert in the evening. So that was an outlier. The other Easters, it's been basically what you would experience every Sunday. But this particular week, we're doing some renovation and redecoration of our lobby with some permanent changes. We're radically expanding our coffee and pastry and kind of pre-service hospitality. That's going to be permanent. We are upgrading and expanding the kids check-in. That's going to be permanent. So the changes we've made with the deadline of Easter are not only for Easter, they're for Easter and beyond, but we just targeted Easter as the time, you know, to implement those things. And part of it, Luke, is really because, well, I mean, you go back to mid-January, we were still pretty well shut down in Connecticut, even though we were having church. It was really small attendance. Lots of people were still live streaming, especially over the holidays when COVID spiked. So it was kind of early February before we started to see that full resurgence of the church. And I think there's a couple hundred people that have targeted that Easter is going to be their time to come back to church. So part of it is that we are emerging from COVID. And so we're hopefully that emergence from COVID will be strong and will stay strong.
Yeah. So, and where you're at, your part of the country, COVID has been, in terms of the reaction to it, from, you know, your local governments and things like that, has been a little bit more extreme than maybe where I'm from. And so, you know, you've had the lockdowns and the masks. It's just been, and I might be wrong on that, but the Northeast and the West Coast, if you will, have seemed to take a similar approach to, being very restrictive and locked down. Whereas me here in Tennessee, like, it was a bummer for a month and we all got over it.
We were kind of in between you guys. We weren't as bad as California or Michigan or New York City, but we definitely weren't as open as Florida. We were somewhere in the middle. I'll tell you what we really experienced. Our people took it much more seriously than some people in Texas or Florida. So even without the government mandates, we saw our church family being very, very conservative and cautious. And I don't blame them. I mean, Connecticut's hospitals were full, the ICUs were full. So I certainly don't blame our church family for being cautious.
Yeah. Yeah. And so with that in mind, though, I can see what you're saying. And I think this could be true, though, anywhere, at least in the United States, that, yeah, this Easter is kind of, I guess I've never really considered that. And I guess we'll find out, because again, this will be released after Easter has passed. But it could really seem to be a target for people saying, I'm going to go back. Because I know that's what I experienced last Easter, at least again, here in Tennessee. You know, Easter Sunday, the church was more full than I had seen it ever. And it was like, yeah, okay, it's Easter, but at the same time, there's something else about this. You can tell that just people, you know, people are coming back. So I do hope that's what happens.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But I like what your approach is there. 'Cause that is something that from the media side of things, you know, there are certain things from, you know, that we're going to design or create for you that are obviously going to be event driven. Like, okay, we're making a graphic to advertise an event, to advertise Easter Sunday, or we're making a video to promote, you know, what you're doing for Christmas or a new sermon series or something like that. It's very much driven by a timeline, a date on the calendar. But then there's other things like a logo or brand redesign or refresh, a website redesign or refresh, that there's really no timeline there. It's just kind of like, we'd like to get it done. That would be nice. And so I like that mentality of use these big days, not necessarily days where you do something, you know, try to go all out and do something in terms of your programming that's completely different. But I like what you're saying there. Like, yes, we're going to do something different and new, but these are mostly going to be permanent changes. And I really like that, that concept.
Good. Me too.
So hope it works out for you there. So, thinking about that, you know, church, marketing is for some a dirty word in churches, but it's just something that we do. Marketing is you have to. I've heard it put before is, whether you're doing it intentionally or not, it's happening. If you don't intentionally manage
every church markets themselves. It's just a matter of, is it good marketing or bad marketing?
Exactly. Yeah. If you're not trying, if you're not putting forth an effort, well, that's probably in your marketing and how you're being perceived by your community. That is most likely what they see. Oh, that's the church that doesn't care. And so marketing then, what I'm finding out, and again, maybe I'm biased because it's the world, again, the world I live in, it's my livelihood, like I said before, but when it comes to, marketing, it almost seems to me like it is so crucial to just your church's overall, I guess, even culture, if you will. Because if it's disingenuous, people are going to see right through that. To go back to the Big Sunday illustration, if you are doing all this awesome stuff on Easter Sunday that you would never do any other week, well, then those that do happen to return, you know, the following week or later are going to be like, oh, you marketed, if you will, you advertise something that's not really you. And so I don't know if that's, maybe I'm wrong on that, but to me, it seems like marketing, it really is, it goes hand in hand with the culture of your church.
Yeah. And so let me talk about the word for a minute, because I understand how you're using and how I use the word. Still, I'm not crazy about the word because it is a secular word and it implies that there's a market out there that we're trying to capitalize on. The biblical sense of it is evangelism and presence. Marketing your church is making your church present in the community. And whether that's through social media or mail or distribution of flyers or a sign in the center of the town, marketing is just how are we seen? There's this culture out there that we're supposed to be reaching into and serving. And I would say too, the number one thing that a church does to market itself is the life that the church family lives outside of the church, because that's Matthew 28:19-20. As we're going about our lives, we're supposed to be witnesses. We are supposed to be is irrelevant. We are. Again, we're either bad witnesses or good witnesses. We're either effective or ineffective. But either way, we're witnessing of Christ. But how do we get active in the conversation? How do we get visible in our culture? And how do we get ahead of our church family so that when they invite a friend or start having a gospel conversation, the seed has already been sown in the hearts of our community. They've seen or heard about our church. Now, 10 years ago, anybody that had seen or heard about Emmanuel, it was not good. I heard so many bad things about our church. 10 years later, even the church, the community at large that doesn't attend our church has a very favorable view of who we are in the community. So that's been very deliberate and very strategic, that we are loving and blessing and reaching out to the community as much as we can, and expressing the love and the grace of God in the community. We're living out the gospel. We're not just declaring it. We are declaring it and we're living it so that people will come and hear it and receive it and experience life with Christ. So we do a lot of marketing. But bigger than that, we do a lot of community relating with and through our church family and through events like Easter, events like the Easter egg hunt. We do a big trunk or treat that our community is starting to become aware of these things. They love them. They love this Easter egg. It's sort of a scavenger hunt the whole family participates in. Everybody that comes will walk through the church, and then they'll go to these different locations. So it's a very immersive experience. So anyway, I'm getting off track a little bit from your question, but I very much believe that a church should be visible. They should be seen and heard in their community. And so when I use the word marketing, that's what I'm talking about. How are we going to be seen and heard? And the postscript is, in being seen and heard, what kind of light are we shining on the gospel? Are we shining a favorable light on Jesus and the gospel, or are we obnoxious? So that's kind of my top high end view of, you know, we're active getting our church visible, seen and heard in our community.
Yeah. And you talk about the Easter egg hunt, obviously applicable to Easter, but what are some other ways that you, you're doing that? Some approaches to saying, hey, we want to be seen and heard in our community.
There are three or four times a year that we're doing a seasonal event that we're advertising heavily. Okay. But every week of the year, you know, the big picture here is that we've tried to cultivate a culture in our church where it's very easy to go and tell the community to come and see. And I use the phrase go and tell, come and see. Sometimes people want to pit those against each other. Like, you know, you're more spiritual if you go and tell, and come and see is weak. Well, they're both Bible phrases. Okay. And go and tell is get out there, get out there in the community and be active. So in line with that, we have a relatively light weekly church schedule because we want our church family to be community integrated. We want them to have lives outside of church. And we want them. And so there's the go and tell component of that. And then there's the come and see. The come and see component is I promised our church family that I'm preaching the gospel. Every Sunday I'm preaching the gospel to unbelievers and believers. And I've said, if you have a lost friend and you bring them to Emmanuel, they're going to be well-loved, treated with great hospitality, and they're going to hear the gospel and have a chance to respond. And then we will do our best to gently, lovingly follow up if they give us any information. And so that is the core of our outreach program. And I don't apologize. It's not like other outreach programs. And I could go on for an hour about why and how. Every now and then I bump into somebody that wants to maybe have a little argument about the way they do outreach and the way we do outreach. And I just say, look, I'm not trying to compare methods. I'm not interested in arguing about methods. I'm in New England. I'm in Newington, Connecticut. We're being the church God wants us to be. We're bearing the fruit that God wants us to bear. And I'm celebrating the fruit. So every week people are bringing people to Emmanuel. And it's all we can do to keep up on the follow-up, to be honest with you. And every month there are between 8 and 15 people following in believers' baptism. We have a string of classes, 4 classes we call growth track. One is the gospel. 2 is the relational Christian life, basically. 3 is doctrine. And 4 is gospel identity from Stop Trying. And we have 20 to 30 people going through every one of those classes every quarter. So lots of seekers and lots of new people coming into community where they're hearing the gospel and making friends. Last thing I'll say about this, Luke, that I love about what God's done at our church is evangelism isn't something that only happens out there. Most people that are getting saved through Emmanuel are getting saved at church because someone brought them. Yeah. And on any given Sunday, there's probably 20 people faithfully attending church that are not saved yet, but they've been coming for weeks or months. And we're taking them on that journey of helping them answer their questions and seek the Lord and understand the gospel. So a lot of times the people we lead to Christ in New England, it's been after a long time of cultivation. You say, well, are you for lifestyle evangelism or confrontational evangelism? My answer is yes. I'm for cooperating with the Holy Spirit in whatever way the Holy Spirit is working in someone's life.
Yeah, well, there's a lot that we could unpack there, because you know you hear you know yes the somebody can you know like I said from your church I suppose they could go individually you know witness and they could individually and I'm sure it happens you know from time to time they could individually you know see somebody saved come to Christ right there you know whether that be in their a neighbor or whatever. But, you know, something, and this is something that, you know, might be controversial to some to ask the question, but okay. So like I said, if they get saved, they come to Christ outside of a church, what now, you know, not to say there's no value to that. You know, if someone comes to Christ, they come to Christ. Awesome. But the discipleship, the growth aspect of it. And, you know, considering that, yes, when that happens in church, well, they are already in the place where all of the discipleship, the growth can happen. Not to say they also need to grow on their own. There's a you could lean too far to one side or the other, I suppose. But I like that. Like I said, there's so much to unpack there, but I really like that concept of, yeah, they're getting saved in church. And so now they're already in church and they're growing, or they have the opportunity to start growing.
Yeah. And understanding the gospel becomes not just a 5 or 10 or 20 minute presentation in some random location. It becomes an experience of covenant community in the church. So they're hearing the gospel, they're seeing the gospel, they're experiencing the gospel relationally and through the teaching of the Bible. So it's a much more immersive experience than simply outside of the walls of the church can produce, you know. So we're, again, not to criticize anybody's philosophy of how they do outreach, but this is what the Lord's doing here, and I'm cooperating with him because he's doing a good job.
I'm really looking forward to sharing the next part of our conversation with you in the next episode. Until then, make sure that you are subscribed. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/mustincrease. And I hope that you will subscribe so you don't miss the next part of our conversation. Now, until then, I want to remind you to make sure that you try something new. It's so much better to fail at trying the incredible than to succeed at doing just the average. I'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.